Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
The Bible said in verse number 10 of Nehemiah chapter number 4, and Judah said, the strength of the barriers and the burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish so that they or so that we are not able to build the wall. Now look at verse number 11. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come into the midst among them and slay them, and cause the work to cease. And I want to look in verse number 11 and preach out of it for a little while. Father, I love you tonight. I thank you, Lord, for being good to us. And Father, Lord, thank you for the good choir singing tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the good special singing. God, thank you for the great missions offering. Father, by faith, we thank you for that. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us as we look into your word tonight. I pray, God, Father, that you'd lead us and guide us, Father. Lord, just help us, Father, to be sensitive to you, God. Help us to say the exact words you'd have us to say. And God, help us to say nothing, Lord, that you wouldn't want us to say. God, we'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. The book of Nehemiah to you that comes to church here all the time is a familiar book. I preach out of it quite often. Matter of fact, probably about every 4, 5, 6 months I'll come back into it and I'll preach some out of the book of Nehemiah. Man, I love it. I really do. These first 6 chapters of the book of Nehemiah are exciting chapters, man. There's things going on in the book of Nehemiah. I love to study the life of Nehemiah. On leadership. Nehemiah's a great leader, man. He knew how to lead people and he knew how to get things done. Let's just look at a few things. Chapter number 1, he had a heart that was burdened in verse number 1 through 4 when you study it out. He had knees that was bent in verse number 4 and verse number 6. It's one thing to have a burden, but it's another thing to have bent knees. And can I say this to you? If you have a burden, it will cause you to have bent knees. It will cause you to spend time in prayer that God would help you with that. He had lips that would confess in verse number 7. He had a will that was submissive in verse number 9. He was submissive to what God would have him to do. He had feet that would go in verse number 10 and verse number 11 in chapter number 1. He was not only burdened, he was not only praying, he was not only submissive, but when God said do it, Nehemiah did it. Amen. You know, a lot of times we say, you know, preacher, I'll do anything in the service of the Lord. I'll do anything for God until God says do something and it's not in our itinerary. Well, it got real quiet right there until God does something and it says that we say it's not in our itinerary. And Nehemiah was willing. Think about this. Nehemiah left the comforts of the palace. That's where he was living at. He was the king's cupbearer. But he was willing to walk away. Chapter number 2 comes around and he assesses the need that they have there in rebuilding the wall. After he assesses the need, he asks for help in rebuilding the wall. Chapter 3 rolls around. And in chapter number 3, there's many that assumed responsibility. They did not leave all of the work just up to Nehemiah, but many assumed responsibility. Many acted responsibly. Can I say that again? They acted responsibly. If a leader asks you to do something, man, act responsible about that. But many acted responsibly. But then this, many associated realistically. They knew that if the work was going to be done, that it was going to take God to get the work done. Chapter number 4 rolls around, and when chapter number 4 rolls around, there's one of the 3 prayers of Nehemiah that we find, and that's verse number 4. He said, hear, O our God. But in verse number 9, I made mention of this morning, the Bible said, nevertheless, we made our prayer. The leader prayed in verse number 4. 4, but now in verse number 9, the laborers are praying. And I want to say something to you. If you're a leader in the church tonight, we'll never leave nobody somewhere that we've not been ourselves. And if we're going to lead them to an altar in prayer, if we're going to lead them in their prayer life, then we're going to have to go there ourselves. You see that here in Nehemiah. In chapter number 4, there's work prayerfully, but there is watching continually. He set those watchers up to watch. Whenever you study chapter 4 out, there is warring encouragingly. In other words, they go to battle in chapter number 4. I talked about that this morning. And then there's this. There is a warning immediately. If they saw something going wrong, they blew the trumpet. And that trumpet was a sign that trouble was on the way and battle was going to take place. I want to say something to you tonight in the midst of the work of God. When trouble arises, you need to warn immediately. Immediately. I'm of this opinion. If you don't take care of a little fire, it'll burn thousands of acres. Are you with me tonight? I was reading yesterday and had been talking to several different people, and they said that the cause of the Pilot Mountain fire was an unattended campfire that got out of control. You know what? That started as a spark. That's what it started as. And you know what it done? It growed into a small fire. There was probably some kindling that was there that got that started. And then, Brother Aaron, there was one stick of wood and then another stick of wood. And now, over 1,000 acres is burned. Why? Because it all started with a spark. And whenever you see a spark, you better warn somebody so they can get the fire extinguisher and get it put out. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. The devil will put sparks inside the church and try his best to destroy what's happening at Amazing Grace Baptist Church. He'll try. I told the men in prayer room this. I said, I was talking to Daddy today, and Daddy asked me how their morning was. And I told him, I said, man, it was great. I said, the church was full. If we'd have had all the kids up here from this morning, we'd have been packed out. He said, well, what are you going to do? I said, well, you mean what I'm going to do? I'm going to go eat lunch with Brian Mestino. What are you going to do? He said, no, what are you going to do? I said, what do you mean what I'm going to do? He said, you're going to have to make some space somewhere. And I said, well, I appreciate all the pressure. I've been trying to figure that out now for about 4 or 5 weeks. Look around at what the Lord's doing. It's a Sunday night, and we're about 85% full on a Sunday night. Most churches go from being about 85% full on Sunday morning to about 50% full on Sunday night. What's happening, the devil will do everything in his power to destroy that. And when the devil sticks his head up, you better be warning immediately. Immediately. I thought about this. They warned immediately. Hear him this. You'll find that in chapter number 4, man, I love this book of the Bible. In chapter number 4, the way that they got the work accomplished is they was united. Can I say that again? There was unity. There was unity. I've said this many times, and I'm going to say it again tonight. No church has ever crumbled from without. Every church crumbles from within. Somebody from without is not going to split our church because they're not part of our church. Every church split has come from within the church. Every church struggle, every church battle, every church argument has come from within the church. And what we must do, what we must pray, what we must beg God for is unity in the work of God. Unity. I need some help preaching tonight. I feel like I'm preaching to the teenagers on dating again. Is unity in the work of God? Is unity. I pray this every time that I go to the Lord in sincere prayer. And you say, well, all of our prayers should be sincere. I agree with you 100%, but I believe you understand what I'm saying. There's times when we really seek the face of God. And each day in that time of sincere prayer, I pray this. God, send the right people to Amazing Grace that you want there. And God, if there's anybody there that will hinder the work of God, get them right or get them out. And you said, preacher, you ought not pray that. Hey, look, if you're going to hinder the work of God, a lot of times we don't understand. If there is not unity in our church, the lost man or the lost woman comes in, sits down on the pew on a Sunday morning, a Sunday night or a Wednesday night, and because things are not right inside the church, the work of the Holy Ghost is quenched. And God is not able to move the way that He wants to move. And I want to say something to you tonight. I believe this in all of my heart. If you're that person that quenches the Holy Spirit of God, I believe if that individual dies and goes to hell, their blood will be required on your hand one day. Unity in the work of God is so important. They were unified in the process of the work. Look what he said in verse number 6. So built we the wall, for the people had a mind to work. They were unified in the protection of the work. Look in verse number 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set our watch against them day and night because of them. They was not only unified in the process of it, but they was unified in the protection of the work. Hear me tonight. If you lend an ear to somebody that's running their mouth about somebody else in this church, you're not in unity with the church. Are you hearing the preacher tonight? Now, I'm preaching real good. They was unified in the protection of the work. You know what they done? They set watchmen out. They said, look in verse number 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set watch against them day and night. Day and night. There ought to be some watchmen in the church. There ought to be some watchmen in the church. And if you hear something beginning to come up in the church, man, you ought to blow the whistle on it. Amen. You ought to blow the whistle on it. I had to talk to the young people tonight. And usually, I don't know, once about every 4 or 5 months, I'll go out there and I'll tell them I love them and how much I appreciate them. And then we talk a little while and then I tell them I love them. I walked in tonight and they all clapped for me. I said, I bet you won't do that when I get done. And I told them, I said, you need to respect those that have authority over you. I said, if Brother Heath says something, you have no business arguing with him. Amen. Even if you think you're right, you're wrong because you're disrespecting authority. Even if you are right about something, you're still wrong. But then I said this, you need to respect each other. I said, you need to respect each other. I said, you need to love each other. You need to build each other up. That's good preaching to all of us in here tonight. You have no business running your mouth about each other. I said, love each other and be good to each other. They was unified in the protection of the work. They was unified in the process of the work, but they was unified in the progress of the work. When you read verse number 13 through verse number 18, the progress of the work, they was unified in that. Right. Now, here's what I want to look at. Look in verse number 11. In matter of fact, in chapter number 3 and chapter number 4, the beginning of chapter number 4, Sanballat and Gershon and Tobias comes up against them. And here's what they say. I read it this morning. If a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone walls. They are mocking them and they're doing everything in their power to tear them down. Watch this. Verse number 9, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers and burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Well, guess what? Now somebody inside of Jerusalem has decided to listen to the enemy. And look what's happening in verse number 10. Now Judah, part of them, is saying, we're not able to do it. Are you hearing me tonight? We're not able to do it. Well, preacher, there's no way. I cannot believe that you're even thinking about spending $9,000 to put a postcard in somebody's mailbox. Hey, look, we're not thinking about it no more. We done voted on it. We doing it, baby. Amen. Well, preacher, how in the world will we ever recuperate from that? How in the world? Let me tell you the way we're going to recuperate from it. We're going to keep giving it out. Blows my mind. The more money we give away in world missions, the more money that comes into the church. And if you're not careful, the enemy will cause you to doubt the leadership that God has placed over this place. Oh, yes. They began to doubt him. Verse number 11. And our adversary said, oh, verse number 9, they just prayed for God to help them. You go back and read, and the king has given permission to get all the lumber that they need to get. You go back and read these 6 chapters when you get home. Look at what's happening, verse chapter 1, 2, and 3. They forgot about everything that God had already done, and they started down. And here's what I want to deal with in verse number 11 tonight. The adversary that comes against us. Look what he said. And our adversary said. The avenue of the adversary tonight. The avenue of the adversary tonight. The devil, I promise you, is not dormant. Are you hearing me tonight? I promise you the devil is not dormant at Amazing Grace. I am just waiting. You say, why did you talk to teenagers tonight? I took a fire extinguisher and put out little fires. Are you hearing me tonight? I'm just waiting for it all to fly loose because the devil is not dormant. There was a time in Acts chapter number 26 and Acts chapter 27, 28 right in there that the serpent was dormant. But as soon as Paul got that serpent to the fire, what happened, buddy? He came alive and he fastened on Paul. The avenue of the adversary. How does the adversary work tonight? Number one, I'm going to give you 3 things and we'll go home. Number one tonight, it's 5 minutes till 7. Number one tonight, the avenue of the adversary. Number one, he distracts them mentally. Look what the Bible said. And the adversary said, they shall not know. The adversary will distract you mentally. Mentally, I preached just the other day on mental health. It was about as quiet that Sunday morning as it is tonight. But that's what I dealt with. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about the mind. Did you know your mind is a very tricky thing? Your mind is a very tricky thing. Do you know your mind will make you do a lot of things that you wish you hadn't have done? Our mind. And let me tell you what, one of the avenues of the adversary is this. He will distract you mentally. What did he say? They shall not know. He had them distracted mentally. The devil will have you thinking that everybody at the church hates your guts. That the preacher hates you. That Brother Randy hates you. I think he hates me part of the time. That Brother Randy hates you. That Brother Stan taught a Sunday school lesson, and the only reason he taught it is because of you. That the preacher preached a message, and the only reason I'm preaching good, and I might as well holler amen. He'll have parents thinking, well, the only reason the preacher talked to the young people is because of my youngin'.
He will distract you mentally tonight. And you know what happened right here? In the midst of a great work that is going on, in the midst of Nehemiah leading in a great building project, you know what happened? The devil distracted them mentally. Mentally. Your mind will mess you up. You know, one of the things that I hate more than anything anymore, I used to do this all the time, but I hate it now. Brother Mark and I was talking the other day, and he said it don't bother him. I hate driving. I can drive from here to Mount Airy, and I'm fine. But if I have to go very far, I hate it anymore. You say, why do you hate it? Because you just sit there. And Cinderella's playing in the background. Leslie's snoring in the passenger seat. And you sit there. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. Now, some people can do it and it don't bother them a bit. Brother Mark was talking about driving. He said, man, I enjoy it. And I was like, more power to you. I like getting on a jet. Somebody say amen. And flying and getting there a whole lot quicker. Our mind tonight. When we sit, whenever I go to the deer stand, I take something to the deer stand. You say, what do you take? Well, I take my backpack. You say, why you take your backpack? Because I'm going to have some food in it. You better have some food if Olivia goes with you. You said, where do you put it? I set it in the floor. You say, I thought you said you went to your... I did. I set it in the floor beside the insulation in the wall and the buddy heater sitting in there. I'm not going to get cold if I don't have to. You say, you can't kill big deer like that. Olivia was eating a chocolate muffin, drinking a drink with a propane heater running in the deer stand last year when that 11-pointer come out, she shot. So I got video of a good buck just Thursday that I let go sitting in the deer stand, Marco Polo and Brother Aaron. And I said, well, look what's standing out there. I take something to keep my mind busy. I take something to keep my mind busy. A lot of people says, I just want to sit and meditate. I can't sit and meditate. My mind don't work like that. But Josh, it goes whoo, 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 whoo. I have to keep my mind busy. Here's the reason why. The devil, Brother Josh, he wants to distract us mentally. He wants to distract us mentally. What is an avenue of the adversary? He will distract us mentally. But watch this, number two. He will not only distract us mentally, he will distort us visually. What did the Bible say? He said, and our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see. Neither see. You say, preacher, what do you see for Amazing Grace? I can't tell you. You say, why? Because you'd probably get scared to death. Where there is no vision, the people perish. The people perish. The devil will try his best to distort you visually. I loved Wednesday night. Matter of fact, I'm thinking about letting Miss Tanya preach this coming up Wednesday night and me teaching her class again. Oh, we better pray about that, hadn't we, Brother Robert? We don't even need to pray about that one. But I sat with the kids and I said, what do you want to be when you grow up? I don't get to talk to the kids like that a lot of times. They come in, they go to their Sunday school class, they go to youth church, they go to Discovery Bible Club. We're in here on Sunday nights, everybody is. So I don't get to spend that one-on-one time with them a lot. So I was asking them, what do you want to be? I want to be a nurse and I want to be this and I want to be a mechanic. That one shocked me, but I want to be a mechanic. And listen, you gotta have a vision. Where do you see yourself spiritually 3 years from now? Where do you see yourself spiritually? Hey, Sunday school teacher, where do you see your Sunday school class a year from now? Well, preacher, my Sunday school class is full. I don't know where I would put them. Well, you know what? We need to get a vision past your Sunday school class and figure out a place we could put them whenever it does get to the place we don't have nowhere else to put them. The devil will do his best to distract you mentally and to distort you visually. Now, I want to talk to you about the vision of faith for just a minute. The devil will tell you and distract you mentally and distort you visually when it comes to faith. There's no way I can do that. If I can't watch this, put it down on paper, it can't come to pass. I understand that when it comes to a business viewpoint. And I understand that there is a business side of a church. I understand that. We keep a very detailed budget. At any given moment, you can request to see it. We can show you every red cent. Every red cent. Matter of fact, on Friday night, Stephanie and I will sit down with the deacons. We'll show them everything for the past 12 months, what we propose for the next 12 months. But hear me, there comes a time that we do have to remember that we are a faith-based organization also. And there comes a time where as hard as it is, we have to trust God when God says do something. I might be preaching to myself right now, but we have to trust Him. And the devil will distort you visually in that. He will distract you mentally. One more thing and I'm done. Look what he says. He says, neither see till we come to the midst among them and slay them, and cause, watch this, the work to what? Cease. The avenue of the adversary is this. It's to distract them mentally. It's to distort them visually. But it is to destroy them spiritually. To destroy them spiritually. What did he say? And cause the work to cease. If you're not going forward, you're going backwards. And spiritually, if you're not moving forward, if you're not growing in the Lord, you know what you're doing? You're declining. You know what the avenue of the adversary comes to start playing? So, you know what the avenue of the adversary is? It is this ultimately, to destroy you. Two, are you hearing the preacher? It's to destroy your home. I told them kids tonight, there's 25 from ages 12 to 18 in the fellowship hall this evening. 25. 25. You know how many voted me in as pastor 15 years ago? 21 in the entire church. 25 teenagers this afternoon. 25. And here's what I told them. I said, you need to be praying that God one day, you ladies, that God will give you a godly husband. And you boys, that God will give you a godly wife. Amen. It's to destroy our youth group. To destroy it. You remember Brother David Edwards preaching here and giving the illustration about their youth group, over 50 in the youth choir, and because of one getting sideways, it was destroyed. It was destroyed, busted into me. I want you to hear me tonight. Our youth group's one choice away from that. Our church is one choice away from being busted into a million pieces. I've seen, well, I want to be careful right here, but I'm just going to be real with you, man. I've seen our church get to where it's at right now 2 or 3 times. Brother Randy, little things will happen. Little by little, you'll see a few dwindle off and go somewhere else. I've seen it get to where it's at 2 or 3 times over the past couple years. And I believe in all of my heart, we're on the brink of either exploding or exploding. It's up to us what we do with that. I can preach to you. I can love you. And I'll be there at midnight or at dinner time to help you and your family if I know it. Did you catch that? If I know it. Don't depend on me to get anything off of Facebook. If you have something and I don't show up at it, and that's the way I was supposed to have found out about it, I'm a public service announcement. Do not depend on me to get anything off Facebook. Do not depend on me to know anything about your family off Facebook. Don't depend on me to pray for your need that you posted on Facebook. The only reason I still have Facebook is because the church account and the Foothills account runs out of mine. And if I completely delete mine, all of that is gone and we have to start all over. If I know it, I'll be there. I'll do everything in my power to help you. I can preach to you. Brother Heath can preach to our young people. The Sunday school teachers can work with them in Sunday school. But you're going to have to make a choice. Am I going to plug in lock, stock, and barrel? And am I going to get behind the leadership? Or am I going to be this one? And Judah said, the strength of the barriers of burdens, or the strength of the barriers of burdens, is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Are you going to be the one that says, no, we're not able to do that, we're not able to do this, we're not going to back you, we're not going to do this? Or are you going to be that one that says, you know what, I'm going to trust God, I'm going to believe God? What are you believing God for right now? I'm going to believe God. The avenue of the adversary, here's what it is, and I'm done. It's to distract you mentally. It's to distort you visually. And it's to destroy you spiritually. He wants to destroy you. Where do you see your Sunday school class 5 years from now? Where do you see the church 5 years from now? Where do you see the youth group 5 years from now? One of the things that Brother Heath put on his evaluation from this year is this. To get the teenage boys, and I had them list the top three priorities of what they wanted to see accomplished next year. And here's one of the things that he put on. To see the teenage boys get more involved spiritually and step up more. Now, I'm not quoting it verbatimly, but that's pretty close to what it was, wasn't it, Brother Heath? You know what he's saying? He's got a vision for it, man. He wants to see something done with it. He wants to see something done with it. Miss Stephanie put one of hers was this. To help better our internet ministry and our TV ministry. Hey, you know what? Over the past 2 or 3 months, I've been blown away at how much I've realized that gets out. I've even thought a time or two, man, they ain't even no use in it's blowed my mind. It's blowed my mind. You know what? This past Friday, Leslie and I spent over an hour walking through our auditorium and over our grounds with an older gentleman by the name of Mr. Walker and his wife, Miss Shirley. Let me tell you the way that they learned about our church. Through the TV. And I'd even forgot about that we'd come on it. I think it's 3 o'clock or something other on Surrey TV. That's the way he learned about our church. He knew the Millers and they went to see him. And he said, I seen y'all singing on TV. I want to meet the preacher. And I went and met him. And they come up here the other day and walked around and we fellowshipped and talked. She said, I want to further that. You know what she said? Preacher, I got a vision to help our church grow. What's your vision tonight? What are you going to do as we go into a new year? And I don't even have this written down. We're not even there yet. What are you going to do to help this church grow? It's not what can the church do for me. If that's your mentality, you have the wrong mentality. It's what can I do for the church? What can I do for the church? May we find ourselves unified more than ever. And allow God to build walls that we have to stand back and say, only God could.